Hello, 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 and welcome to the Nook and Cranium Podcast. I am Vince, and I'm here with...
I'm Zach.
And Eric.
Welcome, welcome. How's it been going?
Good. How you doing?
I can't complain.
Yeah. It's been going well. It's been going well.
And so I guess one of the first things that we can really tap into is Hurricane. Oh. How's everybody? Everybody good? Where are we at? Like, what's the state of mind?
Getting there. We didn't have any damage or anything at home, but the walls are thumping and the lawn furniture is blowing around the yard and rain leaking in places you didn't know rain could come in. Yeah. Power's out.
Yeah. What about you?
We just got a bunch of wind and rain, but nothing crazy. Nothing crazy. I didn't see any downed trees. I know some places lost power. We didn't lose power this time. It's not too bad, not too crazy. I noticed some electronics in the house were acting a little strange, a little wonky. So I don't know if that could be related somehow. Interesting, though.
So, a little background. We live about 4 hours apart, and we kind of met in the middle. And we've encountered a lot of interesting stuff on the way. I passed thousands of trees down, power lines pinned to the ground, cars off in the ditch.
It was wild getting here. It was cool. We didn't encounter anything that served as too much of an impediment to get in here, but it was very scenic, to say the least.
I was surprised I didn't come across any like standing water. Yeah. I didn't have to drive around any water. There was this one spot where I got off of one highway and got onto another highway, mm-hmm. and the highway is just covered in pine needles, and then I'm just cruising along. It's like 55 zone. And then all of a sudden, there's just cones across the highway. And I mean, there was an exit there, but the cones were just straight across the highway. And you're coming around this curve and you see the cones before you see the exit.
Yeah.
And you're just like, wah.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Got off on the exit and then, you know, recalculating, and then go this way, and it's like, get back on here. So I start to turn. There's trees there. Turn here. Recalculating. Go down a little farther. Turn right. There's a tree down. Just make a left. Recalculating.
Yeah, yeah.
Man. And I don't think it can be said enough, but people, please drive safe during these kinds of conditions. Once again, we drove past a number of cars on the side of the highway. One was turned the wrong way. There was so many that all it takes is just the standing water or just driving too fast during these type of conditions, and your car can just drive off the edge of the road and you lose control, your hydroplane. And so I think it's imperative that your life is way more important than you know, speeding and feeling like you have to rush to get somewhere. So just please be safe. Just to even talk about the hurricane, I've been keeping up with a lot of different things, like on Twitter. So if the further down south you go,
I think they call it X now.
Oh yeah, I'm so terrible with that. But X, and a lot of people got hit a lot worse as you travel down south. I have family in Florida, so I'm sure to check up on them to make sure everyone's okay. But there's a lot of flooding. People didn't evacuate their homes, and so people are posting pictures of them at the top floor and their bottom floor is just filled with water. It's crazy to see.
Yeah, with the driving, I see all these videos where cars are trying to drive through the water, And the water is just kind of like a steady, smooth flow from one side of the road to the other. And they go in there and it's not even up to the crack of their door. And it, they just start to move away. It doesn't take much.
Yeah.
Doesn't take much. Water's powerful.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think it was the wildest when we got like almost here from coming from North Carolina, coming from the Triad area. It was like, what, the craziest thing we saw was probably what? Because me and Vince rode down together and we saw some areas where they had removed trees, but you could tell that the trees fell down because you saw where they were like pushed over to the side and a bunch of, you know, branches. And when a tree falls, it just leaves. It leaves its mark. So, not to mention delays on the highway.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, other than that, and some wild drivers, it was like it was fairly clear. But then, like the closer we got, that's when we were seeing like more cars on the side of the road. It spun out or whatever, you know, tucked down in little hills. But then when we got here to Greenville. Oh man, it's
you can tell. Otherworldly.
Yeah, you could tell.
Like I thought it was bad where I was. We, you know, on the roads there was, you know, tree down on this lane, tree down on that lane. It was like a slalom to get down the road. And once we got to Greenville, it's just trees everywhere. Trees in people's living rooms.
Yeah,
trees on people's cars. Branches everywhere. You can't even walk down the sidewalks in town. Branches everywhere. That's rough. They got hit hard. And then those falls out there, it's usually like a trickle.
Yeah, that was wild. That was.
I'm surprised it doesn't erode the banks. I guess there's enough bedrock up and around it, but it's. I mean, that was wild to see.
Yeah,
so much water moving through there so fast.
Oh yeah.
It looked like you were at Niagara Falls.
That's what it looked like. Something crazy.
Like running rapids. It's
cool. Yeah. Some people in rafts would like helmets on and GoPros strapped to their head.
Count me out.
Listen.
Right. Not me.
Can of Monster energy drinks in there somehow.
Well, maybe if I drink one of those, I might be up for it.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was something to see. I wonder if that's going to be circulating, you know, X or whatever. Some videos of that.
I'm sure. I'm sure it's already all over the place. I guess by the time this comes out, the hurricane, this is Helene. Just in case there's another one that we have to talk about. This is Hurricane Helene. Made landfall in the Big Bend, came up through Florida, the Panhandle, into Georgia, right up through South Carolina and North Carolina into Tennessee. And it might even be up into Kentucky by now. You know, as soon as it got past, the weather just totally different. Totally different.
It even got hotter. It was so hot. By the time it stopped raining, it was ridiculous.
Mm. And it cleared up quick, too.
Yeah. Now, I will say it was clear, but as we were driving this way, it just was gloomy.
Oh, yeah. It got real sunny. And then then all of a sudden, and you can see it ahead, it was like a dark patch of clouds. And then as we got closer, it's just ominous. Got under that dark patch and... Yeah, when we got under there, it started getting a little windy too, didn't it? Like, started seeing some leaves flying around. Some cars seemed like they were struggling to stay in the lane.
Mm-hmm. Now, other people on the road were crazy aggressive.
Oh yeah,
crazy aggressive. I didn't run into a whole lot of backed up traffic. I guess maybe they did, and they were angry or something. Mm. But they were. I mean,
yeah,
gotta be mindful of yourself and others. Try to come down and not be so angry at stuff that you don't have control over.
Right. Especially like I was driving last night and the rain was pretty bad, but it wasn't unbearable, and people were doing 80 miles an hour, 90, and it's like, just slow down, because you never know if you can lose control. It's dangerous out there. So,
I saw pictures from back in Atlanta, and all of those roads were underwater, and pictures of plenty of cars that didn't make it.
In Atlanta? Big. Oh, so they got hit pretty hard then.
Yeah. I saw a picture of, I think it's Peachtree Creek Road or something along those lines. And it was pretty well underwater.
Oh, man. Had
cars floating, turning.
A lot of areas in Tampa. It's bad. Underwater.
Got a lot of rain.
I'm sure. Florida. I don't know how you live in Florida. I mean, like, the idea of living in Florida seems nice with the weather, the beaches. But it seems like every year it's like some hurricane.
It's, and honestly, it's not, a, I don't, it's not as bad. I don't live in Florida at the moment, but I did live in Florida.
Right, right.
And I lived there for several years, and we never had a hurricane in that time. All the hurricanes we had hit the Carolinas, hit the Georgia coast. Most of it was Carolinas.
Really?
Yeah.
Just, they didn't even hit Florida. Wow.
They just come up. You just watch it kind of swoop by St. Augustine and Jacksonville and go, you know, straight up for Charleston.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. And so I always see it on the Doppler radar, and every time I'm like, oh, Florida's getting hit first, but you're saying it just kind of brushes right by y'all.
Yeah.
and then comes the land.
I think when I don't know if it's like weather off the pressure or something from the Gulf that kind of holds it off on the Atlantic side.
Yeah.
Or what? I don't know. I know that a lot of stuff that comes into the Gulf oftentimes will go up and hit the panhandle. You know, you think about last year, a hurricane that hit Tampa. Took out that bridge, long bridge across the bay. I want to say more hurricanes go up towards the Carolinas or towards Texas than that actually hit Florida. And even when it does rain a lot in Florida, the ground's all sand.
Yeah.
The water just goes away.
That's an interesting thing to consider.
Up here in the mountains, there's a lot of clay.
Yeah.
And
that red dirt.
Yeah.
It doesn't go anywhere.
It makes sense.
Well, I know we was having a conversation the other day on the phone when we were talking about affirmations.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Positive affirmations.
Yeah. They're catching on.
They are catching on.
And a lot of people are, some folks are doing them online. A lot of folks are using them.
Well, somebody tipped me on to them. They said something about the first 20, 30 minutes of your day when you first wake up, you're very susceptible to a mood change. You know, your body is preparing itself for your whole day. And they suggested, you know, listen to some positive affirmations for that period of time, and it gives you a kind of a confidence boost, and you kind of, you know, you carry yourself a little bit differently through the day. And I got to say, it helped me a lot. The hard part was finding one to listen to. Because some of them are really goofy. And some of them are just terrible. Like, it's going to put me back to sleep.
I'll
miss work.
Yeah. What were the goofy ones like? Like, what type of goofy affirmations have you?
Goofy one? Well, for one, I think I am confirmations are kind of goofy in themselves.
Yeah.
Unless the only way I can see it working for me is if I'm repeating them.
Okay.
And I kind of feel silly repeating
them. Like out loud.
Kind of feel silly repeating them. It feels better whenever, you know, what I'm listening to is someone saying, you are in a good headspace, you know, you are going to kill it today, whatever.
Yeah.
But the supportive. I am is just kind of weird. It just sounds like I'm listening to somebody be conceited.
I am your master.
I know the one thing that I thought about in particular is just my personal buy into it. And mm-hmm. I think that's important for anyone is you have to buy into it. And once you get into the routine of it, then it's now you have to believe what you're hearing about yourself. Like these affirmations are to build you up. And so I feel like it is something that I can get into. And like you said, once you find the right ones that you can find relatable and aren't goofy or you feel are corny, then it's one of those things where it's like, I believe this, like I'm going to go about my day. And
yeah, you good. have to think about it. Like this is how I want to feel. Mm-hmm. This is my goal. This is what I'm going for. You got to try really hard when you're listening to not be like, this is weird. I know it's not going to go that way.
Right.
Why am I saying this? You gotta hype yourself up and, you know, make yourself believe it. And it, you can change your own mind.
Right.
Essentially.
It's very important. You have to believe. Believe in yourself.
I think we're going to produce a few because you listen to some, right? Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I liked it. I think I respond. The ones that I did hear, I feel like certain tones, and we talked about this, there's certain tones that sound good for me. And I think that would be the case for anyone. You're going to respond to hearing certain voices, and the relatability is important, but I feel like it's powerful. So I feel like it's something that I'm going to continue to do and listen to and try and get into the routine because I am very bad with routines right now. Very bad.
I know that's right.
But the routine thing is important too. So I'm working on it.
Well, also, so we're going to try to put together some that kind of encompass what we've decided after all the experience, listening to them, what works for us, what we think would work for other people, you know, try to cut the goofy out. And make something, you know, brief and positive and realistic. That was another thing. Some of the ones I was listening to, not very realistic. Mm. Like they went too far. It's one thing if you're listening to one, say you know, you want that mindset to, you know, to get the grind down, to make that money. And you're listening to positive affirmations. And the person, just imagine the person on the other side's like, you are the richest person in the world.
Well, thanks.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff that they say is just not realistic. And it's if you're laughing at what they're saying, you're not really trying to apply it.
True.
Yeah. They could go a little overboard.
So check those out. By the time this drops, we'll have a few on our channel.
Yeah.
And in the comments, let us know what you think of them. Do they help you? Do you have any experience with them? I'm sure some people out there have listened to them before.
Yeah.
The feedback will be good. It'll be good.
We might need a categorical rating system for affirmations. So to keep them realistic, so you could have it on your level. So it's like, you know, say you want some affirmations for wealth. You put in like your income first. You don't have to put it in, but you know, you like make the selection. So if you're already a billionaire, you're gonna have some different affirmation. But if you, you know, you're just working,
I'm not making any,
you're working 9 to 5.
Like you got it,
you're killing it. You're gonna outpace Elon Musk, you know. You're winning this year. You hadn't paid any income tax.
You're going to invest into Session 5 Media.
That's right.
There we go.
That's right.
We got to do it now.
Yeah.
You're going to buy us a coffee.
Yeah.
Plug.
And merch. Yeah. Buy our merch.
And buy the merch. We got to have some sweet merch.
We have some sweet merch. We just need some more sweet merch.
We need more sweet merch.
Pen to the paper, draw up some more stuff.
Great ideas coming through. So even in discussing affirmations, I guess it's important to, I guess, look into how do these affirmations make you feel?
Sure.
And do you feel like once you find those specific ones you like, are you listening to the same ones or do you make it a point to find different ones?
I think I pretty much settled when I found one I could tolerate.
Yeah.
To be honest with you. And that, it got me thinking about the positive affirmations. You think about, my wife watches a lot of podcasts that are run by the comedians, essentially. And one thing a lot of them have in common is they have a lot of mental health issues.
Mm-hmm.
Or I don't want to say problems. They just have things that they deal with that you would not know. Listen to them talk on the stage. You'd have no idea. You think about Robin Williams. You know, Robin Williams was a fantastic comedian, great actor.
Right.
And you wouldn't watch any of his films and think that he was struggling internally, but he was,
right,
on a different kind of level. And a lot of comedians are, and I wonder if it has anything to do with them, you know, night after night, you know, going up on stage night after night and self-deprecating.
Mm.
It's like the opposite of listening to positive affirmations, the opposite of, you know, hyping yourself up. You go out every night and crap on yourself in front of other people. And a lot of these comedians, some of the issues they deal with include stage fright.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way they can get through it is by having that common comedic element when they are making fun of themselves.
Mm.
And I just wonder if that isn't kind of drawing them. Not that I don't find them funny. I definitely do. I support their work. But I wonder if it contributes to their, you know, a lot of their decline.
Yeah, yeah. They could have one issue and they just bring the focus to it repeatedly and keep it going, adding fuel to the fire. You know, I could see that. Yeah.
And so it's almost like they have to make that time to uplift or put something positive in themselves. Because like you said, if you're on this stage and you're talking about family issues sometimes, you're the butt of your own jokes sometimes. So I think it probably is important for them to, you know, almost like take the vacation in a sense. Mm-hmm. Like you're not using none of your PTO in a sense. Mm-hmm. Like to actually do something that's going to be uplifting for yourself.
Yeah, I can see in the comments now they don't have PTO.
Funny. Yeah. I feel like it's important to understand what you're going to find stimulating, and you look for that whenever you're trying to find an affirmation or the affirmation video or listening piece to really focus on, you know, bringing that part of your mind and everything. So.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
I tried to listen to one going to sleep. And I feel like I stayed up for an extra hour just browsing through and trying to find one that was not weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And didn't fit right. And I probably go ahead and try to make some of those, something with a dark screen, lower volume, give that a try, see if that's helpful.
They got to get them right, you know. I could imagine a comedy series, you know, self-help affirmations gone wrong, you know. You're relaxing, you're listening to your affirmations. You're great. You're killing it today. Your credit score just went up 50 points. You know, you love the smell of armpits. Like, what? Wait, hold up, wait.
actually might not be a bad idea.
You know, people talking to your wife, how's the husband? I don't know. He just keeps smelling armpits ever since he woke up. I don't know what's going on. I
think it was something he was listening to in his sleep.
Or the lack of this stimulation. Stimulation, yeah. That's good.
But it's, you know, you kind of, I think it's a lot of trust going in with the and maybe not, because, you know, there's things we expose ourselves to every day in, you know, media, entertainment, that all, they create impressions and neural connections and affect the tendency of how you're going to think about things, even if it's just comedy, and we'll just do that passively. But at the same time, I think that when people are looking for affirmation, self-help affirmation, or something along those lines, they're specifically, you know, they're being conscious about choosing something that's specifically going to give them a positive effect, not just something that's going to be entertaining, make them laugh, or give them some sort of, you know, catharsis or something. But they're looking for something, you know, that's going to be constructive, maybe even therapeutic, you might say. And so you've got to have some. It takes a little trust, because you're like, are these affirmations going to be what I want them to be? That might, you know, they might have hit them all on the head, and then they say one thing, and you're like, I'm good off of that one. So
throw some weird stuff in about an hour.
Yeah, in. Throw some weird stuff. After you're about
to go to sleep, you wake up, I'm going to take over the world today.
Today is the day.
Going back to the self-deprecating thing, mm-hmm. It's like when you say the same lie over and over again, you start to believe it yourself. If you tell everybody the same lie, you know, years down the road, that will be the reality that you remember. You've said it so many times. And I think it works that way with other things too. I noticed that you pick up the phone, call you're talking to your mom, you say, I am sick. You know, I have a cold, but you say, I am sick. Mm-hmm. And really, I am not sick. Mm-hmm. You know, I am Zach. Mm-hmm. I am. there are things that I am.
Yep.
But I have sickness, or I have a cold.
Yeah.
We're saying I am sick. You know, I noticed we went to Spain. And if you're saying something is hurt in Spanish, you're saying that you have hurt.
Wow.
You don't say you are hurt.
Possession.
Because you are not hurt.
Yeah.
You are a person. You are whatever your name is. You are from somewhere, but you are not hurt. You have hurt.
You don't identify.
You have sickness.
By it, you just.
Yeah, that's not an identifier.
You just possess.
You just possess that.
And which is a transitory thing. It's there and then it's not.
And in your head, it makes it temporary.
Yeah.
Versus saying, I am sick. You know, now you're saying sick is what you are.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a good point, but I think. And I think that.
I think it's the wrong way to look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I am depressed.
Mm-hmm.
I am anxious. Maybe I have anxiety, or I have depression.
Yeah.
I think there's different ways we can say things that might be better for our psyche than the way that we've learned to say them conventionally.
Yeah. Right. And then the depression is an interesting subject because of, like, for one, what we call it, you know, you can hyphenate two words, deep rest. You know, you think about how many people aren't getting deep sleep and, you know, what things lead to people feeling depressed, you know, like, For one example, if you don't get enough sunlight, you can start feeling depressed. But not getting enough sunlight also affects how you sleep. You know, the depth of your sleep And so, you know, if you're not giving your body what it needs, eventually it's just going to take it. And so you're still trying to function and maybe be more active, but the body's like, no, I'm taking deep breaths right now, and you might be fighting it, and then that's, you know, that could be a miserable state. And but then you think about the things that help. Okay, you get a little sun, you get do some exercise, something vigorous, something that allows you to have a nice deep rest. You know, maybe you do some meditation that puts your brainwaves in a state that could be, you know, possibly even deeper than the sleep that you're getting. And, you know, you start to notice that when you want to be up and be social or be active, you feel that energy and more of that enthusiasm because you're no longer stuck in that state of deep rest.
I think depression is a normal feeling. It's a normal emotion. You know, it's a normal thing.
Yeah.
I feel like it's something that we're supposed to feel when things aren't quite right. Mm-hmm. Like it's supposed to be a wake up, something's not right type situation. It's supposed to be temporary. People have long-term depression. You wonder why. It's got to be something. There's got to be something going on causing it, whether it's diet or lack of exercise. You know, think about the things we eat. They're mostly foreign to our body. Right. Our body doesn't identify those. Our ancestors never had that stuff. They didn't develop the gut flora to process whatever chemical contraption you put in your face. I think there's a lot of things at play when it comes to depression.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, when you know vitamin D is low or vitamin B is low or even your hydration is off, you know, or you're hungry or you aren't getting the right blood flow through the brain. You know, there's a lot of things that I feel like can make you feel cloudy.
Yeah.
And I know that's not the case 100% of the time. I know that's not everybody's situation. But I feel like more times than not, you know, you feel a certain way for a reason. Like there is a verifiable reason, and you go and you see someone about it and they just write a prescription that does not address the reason why you have these depressed feelings.
Right.
All it does is mask the symptoms. You still have the depression.
Yeah. The mind-altering substances, there's lots of mind-altering substances, but I would say you got to be careful with those. Because, you know, especially if you're dealing with something like depression or anxiety or whatever it might be, and then you take something to address the symptoms, but then the underlying cause of it has not been resolved.
Right. And it's not like I was saying, it's not going to be the same for everybody. Some people have, you know, deep seated trauma that causes them to feel depressed a lot all the time. Things seem just tend to be depressing because, you know, maybe they have a mind that wanders, and you know, there's a whole psychology around why people feel the way they do. I just think doctors are so quick to prescribe.
Yeah.
Without actually checking.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
I think it's doctors and it's like patients. Because I could imagine that a lot of doctors are that way, but then I could also imagine that there are some doctors that are like, well, hold on. We want you to, you know, we want to check out your diet first and your sleep and this, that, and the third. And then the patient's like, yeah, I hear all that, doc. I'm going to work on it. But darn it, can you just write me a prescription for some drugs? I need to feel better right now. You know, quick, I'm sure that they deal with with that as well. So yeah, it's well,
diet is huge, especially people that eat a Western diet. It's terrible. Everything we buy is packaged.
Yeah.
Full of chemicals. I saw something the other day, kind of hit home. It says anything in a box or a bottle that expires next year isn't food.
Yeah, right. Especially organic. I'd say probably the exception would be like salt or water.
But those are just minerals.
Like like something that's not organic.
Compounds.
Yeah. Not organic certified, but not an organism, not a living organism. Nothing from like the plant or animal kingdom.
Right.
Right.
And a lot of people really, they don't want to give certain stuff up. And so that's one thing, even with depression, sometimes, especially in today's society, you can put yourself in a place to where you want to accept the label of it. And so some people do want to have the label of I am depressed, and they want to take the ownership of it. And that's what becomes dangerous, is the fact that some people just want to sit in that. And some people do just want the medicine just to mask it.
Munchausen's, is that what it's called?
You know better than I do. What is it?
Munchausen's, isn't that... When you
go to your friend's house and eat all the snacks,
<That's what> eating everything in the fridge, I am depressed.
No, I think that's look it up. I think that's when you are like addicted to going to the doctor.
Oh, wow, and that's the thing.
Yeah.
You know what?
You got to look it up now. I got to know if I'm right.
I wonder if it's just having attention on you type of thing, where people just want to have some, you know, you go to the doctor and you know, that might be the only time you get undivided attention.
No, I believe that 100%,
folks.
I believe that 100%. But there's some people who pretend to have symptoms, make up symptoms to go to the doctor. I think that's Munchausen's.
How do you spell that? How do you spell?
I don't know, but
I got it.
You got it?
Okay. Yeah, so Munchausen syndrome. Munchausen syndrome is a psychological condition where someone pretends to be ill or deliberately produces symptoms of illness in themselves.
Kind of the wanting to be a victim, wanting to be a center of attention, wanting to be cared for. I'm sure there's some some deep things to go along with that.
So now that I think about that, I think about one of my favorite movies, The Water Boy. Kathy Bates plays his mother, and she does that. She's because she wants, you know, her son to stay like her little boy. And hang around the house and let her brush his hair and all this stuff, even though he's, you know, I think in his 40s, the character, you know. And so he's out playing football and hanging out with his friends, and she pretends to be sick, just bedridden, so he could come home and spend time with his mama. So, yeah. That was an example of that. Mm-hmm. That would be that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. It's similar. I mean, she was a little more. It was a little different, but
a little different. Is it so with the Munchausen's? Is it something that's, I don't know? Is it a compulsive thing where they don't really have much control over it?
I don't think it's like that.
No,
I think they have control over it. But it's from what I've seen before, they just repeatedly go back for different symptoms. Hey, I got this. My arm hurts right here.
Yeah.
It hurts so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it could be nothing at all. They're just pretending. Yeah. They're just going to the doctor just so somebody's there to observe them and give them attention.
Mm.
But like I said, there's probably some deep psychological roots to Munchausen syndrome.
Absolutely. Mm. I find it interesting that even when you think about somebody that wants to be attached to having a symptom, but you have the label of Munchausen syndrome, so it's like you have something, and it's like that's what you can kind of latch onto. But you know, the psychological part of it,
yeah. At least that's better than like I am a Munchausen or something. Because if you if you have it, he's like, well,
I am a Munchausen.
Give it away. Get rid of it.
I eat my friends out of all their snacks.
Which leads to depression.
on both sides.
On both sides. Because then they have no snacks. Oh, man. I know when I think about something that I like as far as, and I don't know if you would consider it an affirmation, but there have been like some audio books that I like to listen to. Some of them might be like maybe an hour long or something like that. And like one of them is Think and Grow Rich, but it's narrated by, what's the guy's name? It's narrated, I'll think of it in a little while, but it's narrated by this guy. And he has a great voice for reading audiobooks. Very charismatic. One thing that throws me off about audiobooks, it could be a great book, but with the wrong narrator, it's like I can't listen to this. One pet peeve is when they get a narrator and they don't know how to use periods audibly. Like every sentence is a question mark. You know, you're doing great today. It's like, come on. No, you're doing great today. Like, put the period on it. it just rubs me the wrong way. I'm listening to an audiobook. I'm like, this is supposed to be powerful. Every sentence can't sound like a question. But we're trying to be confident here.
Right.
Earl Nightingale is the name. He did an abridged version. Yeah, Think and Grow Rich. So it's like an hour long. And man, I listen to that and feel like focused. I'm like, yeah, I'm ready. Whatever happens, I'm ready for it. But having the right sound, the right tone, the right delivery. And another thing is the way he says things I agree with. And it could be kind of like the difference between like the identity and the possession. You know, like if I was listening to an affirmation and somebody was talking and there's different strength of affirmations. You know, if I was listening to something and they're like, you're going to try your best today. I'm like, it's not a very strong affirmation. You're going to try your best today. Tell me, I'm going to do my best. Now I'm going to try my best. That sounds a little lacking, you know. So it's like. But, you know, and it seems like a small difference, but it matters.
Some of the ones that I've listened to, not audio books, but back to the positive affirmations, they reminded me of my college biology teacher. Mm-hmm. The one that just would lean on the podium and read the book.
Oh.
Just read the words right out of the book.
Yeah. And was he charismatic?
No, yeah. she had no inflection. In her voice, okay. There was no change in tone. Very monotonous.
Uh-oh.
Very, very same volume.
Yeah.
If it was a question, if it was a sentence, if it had an exclamation point, it would not matter and you would not know.
Oh, man.
And oftentimes you wouldn't know where a sentence ended and a new one began.
Wow.
Because it was like a one long runoff sentence as she read.
Was it like audible melatonin?
Yes. 100%.
You don't need pills anymore. You just it's all through the airwaves now.
Nope. I'd read the book in my dorm room and I'd sleep in her classroom.
Goodness. That's the worst when you're in class and sometimes you can start off really excited about it. Yes, I want to learn chemistry this semester. And you get in there and you're like, oh.
Yeah.
This monotone voice just draining the life out of me. I can't do it.
This happens so many times. And then you lose interest. And yeah. I had one class I just stopped going to. I would go and sign my name on a roll and then leave because the teacher would never be on time.
Oh, man.
Yeah. It's terrible.
It's worse when you're paying for it, too.
Yeah.
Like public school, yeah, pay through taxes, this, that, and the third. You know, when you're in public school, you're probably not paying taxes. Your parents paying taxes. But when you're in college and you get a class like that, it's like, come on now. Can I get a refund or something?
Thousands of dollars a year. You're only going to a handful of classes.
Yeah. Oh.
Teachers are getting, or professors are getting pretty well paid.
Yeah. Yeah, professors. Teachers seem like they don't get paid that well. And they always make a point to tell their students about how not well they're getting paid. That's right. Something I noticed.
They don't get paid well.
I'm like, yeah, bless the teachers. But I, you know, professors sometimes they'll let you know too. You know, that's why I get paid the big bucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, teachers have the hardest job that is the least appreciated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's tough out there for them.
Especially these days.
It's an important job too.
It's one of the most important jobs.
Yeah.
Because you're one of the stepping stones for all the children who are going to go off to do other jobs. Some of them the same job, but most of them other jobs.
Right. Preparation.
Yeah. They need that. And it doesn't get easier for teachers. You know, teachers' pay goes up like not at all. But what they have to do or deal with compounds year after year. Mm-hmm. You think about, you know, active shooter drills and actual active shooters.
We never had to worry about anything like that.
No. Well, it used to be kids were worried about, you know, misbehaving in class and the teacher whooping them in class.
Right.
Yeah. No, that was a thing.
Now the tables have turned.
I had a teacher I was never struck by a teacher, but I had a teacher that had a yardstick.
Yeah.
And her hand would be at just the right level. So whenever she popped it on your desk, it was loud.
Yeah.
You jump out of your skin.
And I think we're probably at that age where, like, had we been a little bit, been born, you know, a little bit sooner.
Oh, yeah.
We may have had those teachers that actually, you know, strike you with a paddle in class or something. Mm-hmm.
Well, in some states, it's still legal.
It's still legal, so it depends where you're at then. Yeah. Huh?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
In other states, you can't so much as talk directly to the student.
Can't even break up fights.
Can't break up fights.
Classrooms overcrowded. And now every teacher has to deal with this wonderful addiction of kids being on their phones.
Oh, man.
Social media and recording everything.
I can't even imagine. Mm-hmm. Nobody, when I was in school, nobody had a phone. Not one person. Teachers didn't have phones. I remember when my parents got their first cell phones. I mean, they were expensive.
Right.
Even the first phones that we got whenever we went to college, they weren't cheap. The price wasn't a whole lot different than it is now for the cell phone plan, which is wild because, you know, that money was worth a whole lot more.
Right.
Back then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your phone bill and your car note were about the same back then.
It's crazy to think about.
That is crazy to think about. I remember having a phone bill that was like $200-$300. I don't know how I got so high. I think I canceled it after I got the bill.
Like, not today.
I'm like, nah, it's not that important.
Well, now a car note is what a mortgage used to cost. And now mortgages are like vacation home costs.
Yeah.
But nobody's pay equals out to these type of increases.
It's ridiculous. Exactly. So there's another catalyst for why someone would feel depressed.
Yep.
If you're part of our generation and you didn't buy a house early, you have a lot of hoops to jump through to buy a house at all.
Yeah.
And now rent's expensive. Rent's terrible. a house that I rented 10 years ago. And I know it's been 10 years, but a house that I rented 10 years ago, I looked it up and it has more than doubled in rent.
In 10 years. That's huge.
And it's because, yeah, I know, I wouldn't want to get into too many details about the this is and that's not, that's not really what we're getting into, but apparently they haven't been building enough new homes to keep up with the population growth and the demand for new homes. So when you don't build enough new homes, the demand continues to grow as it always has, but the supply falls. And then you have all these people competing for the same homes and brings the prices way up.
Yeah.
And, you know, people are talking about home prices being very, very high now. And, you know, everybody's like, well, I'm going to wait until the housing market busts and everything comes back to normal and I'll buy a house then. But there's no evidence that that's going to happen. There's still not enough homes. The only way that the market's going to bust is if they suddenly have too many homes.
Yeah. It's an interesting problem, too, because it's like, and it's not uniform. It's widespread for certain. But then you have some places, some communities that are just dying out and disappearing. You know, sometimes, you know, you may have had like an industry, like a town that was really relying on one industry. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, relying on one industry. And then for whatever reason, that industry goes under and everybody leaves. And then you got these ghost towns.
Yeah.
And so you got simultaneously the problem of these essentially ghost towns. And then these big cities, which are getting too expensive to live in, people leaving there and then moving to other smaller cities, which are growing so fast that it's kind of outpacing, like you mentioned, the supply of homes. Mm-hmm. And then so it's like it's a lot of different things going on at once.
A lot of towns like what you're talking about. A lot of people, first thing to think of, coal mining towns. Mm. And yeah, we've stopped digging for a lot of coal. Ultimately, it's a good thing. Coal was always going to go away. Mm. But it's not just coal towns. Mm. You know, that's a sign of the times. You think about Route 66. Back before our generation, Route 66 just dotted with businesses, thriving businesses. Through multiple states, attractions. You know, people would drive that because that was the main thoroughfare. People would drive Route 66. They'd stop at this store, stop at this restaurant, look at this giant chicken.
Right.
You know, this is and that's is what that's what it's all about. But as soon as they put a highway in, that's not the route people take anymore because they were still going from A to B.
Yeah.
It was something to see along the way. Now that's a ghost town for a completely different reason.
Yeah. So is it just that there's an easier way to get from A to B?
Yeah. They put in an interstate.
Okay. Oh.
The interstate system has continued to grow.
It's cannibalized the Route 66, essentially. Yeah.
That actually goes into... You brought this point up when we were on the way here. Is you don't realize you need something until you get to this point of like the physical. And so even with what you just spoke about, we witnessed this with where we are now. There's a lot of digital media. And where we're at is like kind of missing the quality of the physical. Even malls now are starting to die out because everybody is buying things through Amazon. The malls were killing out like local businesses. And now that we're here, it's like kind of see how important it is for people to thrive, like where they live.
That's hard too, because I don't even really know where I stand on the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like a lot of stores, I feel like were a waste of resources. But a lot of the online retail is worse resources. Mm-hmm. You know, when it gets so much easier to buy things, you buy so many more things.
Yeah.
You know, we were overseas, where a lot of these super mega ultra Walmarts and such don't exist. Mm. And there's still, I'll call them mom and pop shops.
Yeah, yeah.
They're just everywhere. There are still stores for very specific things.
Yeah.
That would not survive here.
Right.
And right. It's because the population as a whole decided that they're still going to use these little mom and pop stores.
Yeah. And it's fresh. They wouldn't get, you know, especially with the food, they wouldn't get fresh food. You can't go into a Walmart and get fresh food like you can from this bakery here and this butcher here and this, you know, whatever it is. The mom and pop businesses and the culture in a lot of European countries, definitely Spain, the people there, they want fresh food. That's what they're used to. That's what they value, you know, mm-hmm. as far as I can tell. They're not going to get that from, you know, one of these, what you call supermarkets, big, you know, mega large corporations. You go in there, everything's filled with preservatives and
The stuff in the box.
Yeah.
The stuff in the box that is good until next year.
Yeah.
Their lifespan exceeds ours by a decade.
Wow.
That's a long time.
Their average lifespan exceeds ours by a decade.
Because
they can get fresher food and they can walk to the store and get it.
Yeah. Being able to walk is a big deal. Because when you can't walk to where you're going, to where you want to go, somewhere as simple as getting groceries or going to the gym or going to, you know, just wherever, just having places you can go, meet up with friends, go get something to eat, go exercise, go just to be in nature, go to the park. If you got to get in your car every time to go somewhere, you just miss a lot.
Yeah.
You miss a lot. And one of the things you miss is exercise, but you miss opportunities to connect with people. You miss opportunities to be in nature. You miss opportunities to, you know, maybe even be in just a different mental space as you're walking.
Mm-hmm. And exercise isn't just for your muscles.
Yeah.
Exercise is, it's for your muscles. It's for your bones. Mm-hmm. It's for your heart. It's for your brain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's for your lungs and everything. I think people aren't educated enough. I don't remember anywhere in school learning enough about anatomy to understand how important exercise is.
Right.
Versus, you know, them just telling us, oh, you need cardio, you know, when it's actually much more complicated than that.
Yeah.
If we don't get out and actually jar our bones go away.
Yeah.
It's a very real problem. It's very, well, that's for muscle. Yeah, you can atrophy too, but your body will actually dissolve your bones if you don't use them.
Mm-hmm.
Wow,
it's the wildest thing, but it happens. I hear all these stories, exercise creators, influencers, whatever, are talking about people who sit all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Their body forgets how to use their glutes, so they sit a lot. Their body forgets how to use the biggest single muscles in the body.
Mm-hmm.
So now every time you do something that your glutes are designed to do for you, you're using your back and your thighs instead.
Wow. Yeah.
It causes all sorts of back problems and just because you've essentially forgotten how to use your glutes.
Oh, yeah. They said practice doesn't make perfect. It makes permanent. Practice makes permanent, so... You know, you're sitting, you're hunched over, and you're not, and you're, when you're sitting, you're using your muscles, you know, your hips are flexed, you know, certain muscles are flexed, certain muscles are stretched out, even though you may be in a more relaxed position, you're not, you know, falling over, collapsing like a puddle, you're still holding yourself up, and those muscles get used and get tighter and sometimes shorten, and other muscles lose their tone. And then so, you know, what you practice starts to become permanent. And the bone loss, that's definitely something you don't want. But with like exercise where you have impact, walking, jumping, jogging, all of those things, you know.
Well, when you don't jar your bones and your bones start to lose their density, they break more easily. That's where you end up with a lot of older people who don't get out and move enough. Mm-hmm. And when they finally do get up and move or try to go up a few stairs and fall on their leg and break their femur.
Use it or lose it.
That bone's not supposed to break.
No. Bones actually should be flexible to a certain extent. They should flex. They're not supposed to be entirely stiff and rigid. Mm-hmm. Actually, when you use your muscles, because the muscles insert into the bones through the tendons, when you flex a muscle, it puts a force on the bone. It pulls and tugs at the bone itself. And so when you're working your muscles, you're also putting forces on the bones that cause the bone to be built as well. Of course, muscle turns over faster than bone. Like it takes longer for bone to build and to heal than muscle. But both processes are interrelated and happen together.
Yeah, the bone, that's the rigid bits. Help you keep your shape.
Yeah.
I think that probably about does it for today.
All right.
This was good.
All right.
We'll get some positive affirmation content uploaded. We'll have that up by the time this video comes out. What else we got coming down the line? More merch. We'll have more merch out.
Yeah.
Holidays are coming up right around the corner.
Yeah, tapping into some of those.
Tap into that merch. Everybody wants our merch for Christmas.
Right. Ugly looking cranium sweater.
You're doing great. You're buying merch.
You're buying stuff for Christmas.